welcome to another episode of the Community Legacy League Recap. My name is Patrick. I'm your Legacy newbie this week. With me, I have two of our co-hosts on. I have Dan. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's going on?
not much. And Mr. Tom, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I am basking in the afterglow of another Patriots Super Bowl, guys. Feels good.
Does it make you feel bad at this point?
I mean, no. Because they were so bad for so long, and just, I mean, it's been quite a run, man. I can't lie. I consider myself very lucky to be able to watch that team do its thing for the last 15 years or so. So it's not going to last forever. And I'm sure people will be rubbing it in our faces when it ends. You just got to enjoy it while it lasts, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I wonder how many people in, like, the New England area, like, are so happy that Drew Bledsoe got hurt all those years ago.
I know we're not Sports Center, but they owe a debt of gratitude to Bledsoe. You know, he got injured in, like, the first or third game of the season, but he did come back in the AFC Championship, and he helped, because Tom Brady got knocked out of that game, and he helped finish that game off and get him to the Super Bowl, so... He pulled his weight that year, you know.
But, it's like the most celebrated New England injury of all time.
he was just making the way for the GOAT. So what can you do? So this week we're going to talk a little legacy, I think, right? That's what's on the docket today.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we can go over to last week's event where we had a really great turnout. We had 18 players, which was really nice to see. I think everyone's kind of gotten out of the fog of the holidays and New Year's and all that stuff, and we're back to getting some really decent-sized events. Dan, how did you do last week, man?
I did okay. I started out the tournament pretty strong. I was on Bant Infect again. I started out round one versus Painter. And that was an interesting match because I had to play a lot around Ensnaring Bridge. He seemed to have that constantly. So at one point, he had a bridge in play. I cropped for a Wasteland just to make sure that I could waste his land to keep one card in his hand. Because I knew it was like a 3 converted mana cost spell, and he had 3 lands in hand. So I cropped for a Wasteland just to... waste his land just so he couldn't play the card to keep a card in hand so I could attack through for the win. So that was cool. Round two, I faced Death and Taxes. I won that 2-0. Viridian Corruptor is just really good versus that matchup. I was able to kill all his vials and just keep him off of the free mana plan. Round three, I think I lost to you, Tom, right?
Yeah,
I lost to Tom per usual. And then round four, I was actually getting ready to begin. Like, I was getting all excited, and then my pager went off.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I had to leave. But luckily, the tournament was kind of on autopilot at that point, and Tom was able to kind of keep an eye on it for me. And then, you know, hopefully it didn't mess up because Steven wasn't able to make it. So I had auto loss round four, so I ended the night 2-2.
No, from my view, the event went smoothly, even in your absence, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, Gatherling will run the event for you, basically, as long as everyone, you know, reports their results right.
Nice.
But, you know, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah. And, Tom, how did your week go, man?
Normal. Pretty normal.
Top four normal, you know.
That was all right. Started off with Burn. I felt really bad, because I think this was the second week this guy's come out. And Burn is just miserable to play against Hex Steps. He played a turn one Goblin Guide, but I played Mox Diamond Brainstorm on turn one. So he gets to reveal the Dark Depths draw that's going to kill him on turn two. And that's
that's brutal.
A fairly depressing state. And the second game was just similar. Burn's just, if they don't have, they basically need to be on the play and turn three kill me, or through discard, or be on the play and sneak a bridge in the play and hope I don't have a decay or grip. That's basically the only way Burn wins that match. And that's just really hard for them to put together. Played Mono White in round two. The guy whose deck we featured a couple weeks ago, or a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I had a turn two kill set up on him. Had a discard spell too, so I saw his hand. Made the token to play around Wasteland, Ghost Quarter, that kind of stuff. And he drew Caracas and then killed me, bouncing my token. But the second and third games, he had some ghost quarters, but his draws weren't very good. He didn't see any, he didn't see a plow, and he didn't see any of the Path to Exile type effects he brought in. He had a needle, but I decayed it. He just had some bad draws in games two and three. That type of matchup's usually a lot harder than it ended up being. Round three, I played against Dan with Infect. It was actually a couple of really, really tight games. The first game was literally he had me the turn before I had him. It was just the one way that they can constantly win against my deck is if they have the Bladed Agent, because that's unblockable against any of the other Infectors. If I can make the token, I can usually block and still kill them, even if they shrink the token a lot. Or in some circumstances, I can even Hexmage the Infect counters off of the Marialage. So as long as they don't have Bladed Agent, it's kind of hard for them to kill me, but Bladed Agent's it's a thing. So he killed me in game one with the Bladed Agent. Game two was pretty quick. I don't really remember exactly what happened. Game three was the interesting one. He Spell Pierced a Mox Diamond on turn one. Which, not necessarily sure and every game would be correct, but he was just trying to, he just was approaching it from a race perspective. And in this case, I had the Hexmage, and he happened to have Flusterstorm in hand that I saw with a discard spell. So had he not Spell Pierced the Mox Diamond, he was just dead on turn two. So it ended up being really good. Then we had some really back and forth interactions with him trying to figure out, he had two Ink Moth Nexuses, so he was trying to figure out his correct attacks through Ghost Quarter. Mm-hmm. And eventually on a critical turn, I tapped the Ghost Quarter down, and he thought that there was a good window and instantaneously activated the Nexus, but he'd drawn Bladed Agent, like a second Bladed Agent, and had he played the Bladed Agent, my blocker that I could have set up the following turn wouldn't have been able to, he would have been able to hit me for exactly one more infect, mm-hmm. and I killed him on 9 infect. So,
yeah,
it was a really intricate little back and forth going on there with the Ghost Quarter, and a really subtle thing ended up making the difference.
Yeah, like as soon as I ended up, it was like an instant reflex to like activate that Ink Moth Nexus, because I think I was able to, I like Blossoming Defensed it or something. Yeah. And if I just let it, you know, get tapped and then just play the Blighted Agent, it would have been so much better. But, you know, live and learn.
So that was round three, and then so it was 3-0. In the finals, I played the, I think it was the guy's first time. It was your friend, Dan, the Aluren player?
Yeah, his name is Brian. He's another Infect player in paper, but he bought into Magic Online, wanted to build Shardless, but Aluren was a little cheaper, so he went ahead and bought into it. Seems to work out for him so far.
Yeah, we had a really interesting match. In the first game, I thought seized him on turn two, but he managed to draw an Aluren and get four different flyers into play.
Oh, man.
But they were all blue. He had like a crane and three Strixes. So Step went through all four of his flying blockers, which was kind of fun. In the second game, he managed to get himself up to 21 with a Parasitic Strix drain because he only used one fetch. So I thought I was just going to have to just plow through his blockers and hit him twice because the step's useless with him at 21. And after I swung the first time he blocked with a Strix, he played a Meek Stone, which I'd never seen in Legacy.
Oh, wow.
This was my first exposure to it, but he had multiple flying blockers and he was over 20 life. So I would have had to theoretically gotten a Mario, like three different tokens would have had to attack. So he won that one. And then in game three, I kept a really interesting hand. I had basically everything I needed to kill him on turn two, but I needed one more land. But I had double Mox Brainstorm. So basically I sat there and tanked on a hand, and I did the math, and it was like 27 lands left in the deck, three draws. If any of those draws is a land for the Mox, I basically win because I double discard, Crop Rotation, Hexmage. Like there was no way he was going to be able to stop that. And I Brainstorm locked myself and then didn't draw land until turn six. So that played the math and got blown out because of it.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah, this week I had a pretty good showing. I ended up playing against your buddy Dan, in round one, who was on a Lurin, and he just kind of smoked me both games. I had some pressure going, but he was able to assemble his combo faster than I could kill him dead. So, that was a quick loss. And then I actually had the second round bye, which was, I think, just because we had one player drop after round one, so I was lucky enough to get the bye in round two, I guess.
Yeah, there always needs to be like at least one person that drops.
Yeah.
After round one.
Yeah, I guess they want top four or bust, you know. I guess losing to the person who eventually won the tournament kept my breakers pretty good, because I still ended up finishing in the top four. I played BJ, who was on he called it BJ's Oodles and Noodles, but it was actually Painter. It was Red White Painter. we had three really good games. The first game he ground me out like that deck does. The second game was like a price of progress to kill him, and then the third game was just like we kind of were both in top deck mode. I had a lot of permission and was able to stop him from basically playing any painters and any that did land. He was stuck on three mana, so any that did land, I was able to answer with like timely chain lightnings or lightning bolts, and was able to keep his grindstones off the field, which helped me in that game. And then I think it ended up just being attacking with Swift Spears to kill him. So those were actually three really good games. I don't have a ton of experience versus Painter or Alluring, for that matter. They're just not decks that I see a lot in our local meta, in our area, when I go out to play Paper Magic. So it was cool to get some reps against those decks. And then round four, I played against A.E. Fabricio. He was on that white build we were talking about, that Mono White Humans deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was obviously streaming the event. I was talking to my chat a lot because he's definitely blown me out with that deck. And I ended up going 2-0 against him. And a lot of it was just based on the knowledge of some of the cards that look kind of innocuous in his deck. One of them being, what is it? It was like a standard all-star for a while. It's the one that gets like +1/+1 counters and gives +1/+1 counters when
the Lieutenant.
Yeah, Thalia's Lieutenant, which it like seems kind of, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but in that deck, once your creatures have more than three toughness, my like Blue-Red Delver almost can't get rid of them, or at least has to spend two spells to get rid of one creature, and that's just really inefficient for that deck. Mm-hmm. So that ended up going 2-0 for me, so I ended up finishing 3-1 in the top four. And actually, one card that I did want to kind of call out, it was against BJ in round three, was... when I Blood Mooned him in game three, that basically shut down his whole deck, which was pretty great. That was very effective against the Painter deck, so I'm glad I have that in my sideboard now.
Yeah, Painter's kind of a deck that you don't see very often, like as you mentioned. At one point, I didn't realize this, but you talking about it made me remember. He played a Painter, and I just had a Force of Will in hand in a Tropical Island, and he named Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a grindstone the final turn, and he was going for the kill, and I was like, I can't do anything. And then I was like, oh, wait, the tropical island is blue.
Yes, it is.
Force of Will. I wouldn't have thought of that normally. If I was playing Paper Magic, wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, so the cool thing about that was, and the reason why they named blue is because they're running, like, four red blasts, and I think they run...
Pyroblast?
Yeah, Pyroblast. And so I actually had that similar thing happen. I was playing against him, and like I think it was, I had like three creatures on the board, and I had the option to play a Delver. I had like Forest Delver Mountain in hand, and that was when I had the Blood Moon out. But he also had already had Painter out and had named Blue with Painter. And so I was able to pitch basic Mountain to Force of Will, which felt pretty good. And my chat was like trying to figure out why I would play the Delver, and it's like, it's all right, guys. We still have a blue card in hand, because you can't see online, like, you know, through the stream that the Mountain was actually a blue card. So that was pretty sweet. But let's see. So did you guys get a chance to check out the season leaderboard? I saw that Tom's still in the top four there.
Yeah, I think I got pushed out, right? Hold on, let me get to the leaderboard.
Yeah, it looks like it's Tom's in first. We have No Outs in third, in second. Weka Pipo. So is he the one who's running the White Humans deck?
Or
the
other? No, he's been running Death and Taxes.
Okay, Death and Taxes. All right. So he's on the Death and Taxes. I'm in fourth right now, and Dan, yeah, you're in fifth.
Oh man, those last two finishes knocking me out.
Still early. You got time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, like I was telling Tom, though, I'm not – it kind of doesn't really matter. I'm just doing it for glory at this point, because I'm not taking buys even if I make it, just because I'm running the events.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I come in top four, I bump it down one, you know, who gets top four. But, you know, well, I still want to be on top of the leaderboard, though.
I guess you'd actually be like tied with me, though, because if you are you going to combine your two username, like your points there?
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
because you have you're 8 points in one, and then the other one has 3.
Oh, so right,
technically
yeah,
you're at 11 points total.
No, you still got him by one. He registers early for the following week.
Oh, right, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I'm already registered for next week.
Nice.
Don't let him psych you out like that.
I'm coming for you, Pat.
Hey, I like it. So now, since we're kind of talking about the season leaderboard, we do have the first quarterly coming up in like a month and a half, right?
Yeah, the first quarterly event will be on March 25th. That's a Saturday, and okay. It'll start at noontime.
Okay, cool. And that's noontime Eastern, right?
Yeah, Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, cool. And so if someone wanted to enter that, that's not like – so the – just let's run it down real quick because I'd get confused too. The year-end one is kind of like invitation only. Is that correct?
Yeah, the end of the year one, you either have to win a quarterly or be on top of the season leaderboard at the end.
Okay. But anyone can enter the quarterlies, correct?
Yeah, the quarterlies are up for anybody. It's like a, you know, it's still free to play, except because it's a, you know, it's a one-time event, the prizes are a little increased. So there's going to be 50 bot credits issued out between the top 8.
Nice.
And I think how I issued that out is first place gets 15 bot credits to Card Hoarder Bots and then an invite to the end of the year finals. Second place gets 10 bot credits plus 5 points for the following season on the leaderboard.
Okay.
And then same thing as third and fourth, both get 6 bot credits plus 5 points for the following season. And then fifth through eighth get 3 bot credits each and 3 points for the following season.
Okay, cool. So that's pretty awesome. If people want to enter, it's going to be the same way that they enter for the regular league that runs every week?
Yeah, it'll be posted on Gatherling. If you have a buy, though, I'll look at the top of the leaderboard, and I will enter you in to the event, so you don't – the only thing you would need to do is add your deck list. I'll add you in with a buy as soon as I see it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so that's March 25th, 12 p.m. Eastern, and like really great prize support. Do we know how many rounds it's going to be, or is that going to be completely dependent upon the amount of entrants?
Yeah, the it's going to be Swiss rounds with a cut to top 8, depending on the size.
Okay,
I'm gonna imagine it's going to be about 5 to 6 rounds of Swiss, because one of the things I've been talking a lot of, I've been trying to network the league all over Reddit, Facebook, and a lot of the European players want to play in the event.
Mm-hmm.
They want to play in the league, but the time is not good for Wednesday nights.
Okay.
So I'm thinking on these quarterly events, we're going to get a lot more boost just from European players who won in.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. All right, awesome. So I know we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the metagame on the league right now. Was there anything you guys saw sticking out that was kind of new and different? Anything that is kind of lacking in the metagame of this league that you don't see, that you might see elsewhere on Magic Online?
Well, we finally got our first Miracles player.
We did? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, Tom Simons, he went 2-2 last week with Mentor Miracles, which is pretty awesome. Good to see a real kind of like premier control deck in the league.
Yeah, and like I think we were mentioning before we started, he kind of skews our metagame results on the Gatling because he put it as unclassified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A typical Miracles player, right?
yeah. Miracles. It's an unclassified deck, sure.
And let's see. We have an Alurd deck now come in. We have like the red green lands deck, which we actually talked about on Leaving Legacy this week. Not this list in particular, but just the red green lands in general. We went over like a big deck tech on that. We're seeing Dredge. We're seeing Storm. Obviously, I've been playing a lot of blue red Delver. We have burn decks in there. We have obviously you're running Infect. And we've also had Painter come in now, so we've actually seen quite a bit of variety of decks there. Good amount of combo, for sure, but also some really great aggro decks, and it's just nice to see a pretty healthy, diverse meta there.
Yeah, I've seen all kinds of crazy things. I mean, I've seen every week I'm playing about, for 4 rounds, I'm playing 3 different decks that I haven't played in the league yet. Like, I played Sneak and Show last week for the first time, Ant for the first time. It's just been a really solid mix. I think the biggest difference... besides Miracles is obviously the biggest one, but from just the, from league play to our league online, there's a ton of bug decks in the leagues right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're basically everywhere. Like, it's about, in a 5-round league, I'm playing about twice on average right now. Yep. And like, they're,
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all right. They're basically all kinds of varieties too. You see a decent, a little bit of Shardless, a little bit of like the Reed Duke list type of thing. And like Fatal, everybody's testing Fatal Push right now. Mm-hmm. You know, Buck Delver's around. Like, they just, there's just, everyone's in love with Leovold. So yeah. Yeah, those lists are, they're basically everywhere. And I think other than the Aloran deck, we haven't really seen that in the league.
Man, you are, like, you hit it right on the nose, Tom. My experience, the last league I ran was exactly that. I played 5 rounds. I played two, the Bug Delver decks, and then 2 Shardless Bug decks. And then I ended up playing, I think, Contagion Pox in the 3rd round, which was interesting. But yeah, just, and that's from what the results I've seen on, like, on Goldfish or you know, MTG Top 8, it's just been a ton of bug decks, like, lots and lots. I haven't seen the Leovold deck myself, but I think I've only played 1 league since Louisville when that deck kind of broke out, so I'm sure it's littered online right now. It seems like the Eldrazi deck's kind of gone down. Miracles has been on the up and up a little bit, I think, with Eldrazi kind of coming out of the metagame a little bit. And bug decks have just been going ham lately, so expect to see a lot more of that in the next few months.
Yeah, it's not even just online. I went to a EE Gold event, Legacy Paper event, and I played 5 rounds of Legacy, and I played three bug decks.
Wow.
Yeah, Leovold was, I mean, there was probably, I think there was like 26 or 27 players at this event, and there was just, at all the top tables, there's just a million bug decks. Yeah, Leovold has really shaken Legacy up.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know how your Hex Steps matches up with bug decks, Tom, but I'm perfectly comfortable with Blue Red Delver going against bug decks. And I just love to see the metagame get shaken up like this once in a while, so I'm all for it.
My Hex Steps is very favored against all varieties of bug. The only thing that really scares me out of them, out of the sideboard, is a lot of them have been shifting to Diabolic Edict.
Okay.
Which is one of the more difficult cards to play. I mean, I have eight discard spells, mm-hmm. but the old crop rotation and the step trick doesn't work. I don't run it personally, but other Hex Steps lists run Not of This World. That doesn't work against Edict either. So I know some Depths players are doing things like putting in a 1-0 Dryad Arbor off of fetch lands to try and play around it, things like that. But usually the Edict's usually only like 1 or 2 copies, so it's not that big of a deal. The matchup's usually pretty solid.
And so when you're talking about crop rotating into step, you mean Sajiri step?
Yeah, it's the normal, the handful of removal spells that can actually kill the Marilage, you know, like Plow Path, crop into step stops those cold. But Diabolic Edict's just a straight sacrifice effect.
Yep.
And there's only, the deck generally only has 4 Hex Mages as creatures. Some of the black-green versions run 4 Elvish Spirit Guides, but they're rarely in play when an Edict would be cast. Mm-hmm. But bug is a pretty solid matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think between Leovold and Fatal Push, those decks have seen a big boost. So again, it's I love seeing the variety in the metagame. So I'm happy for it. Maybe in 2 or 3 months, if it continues like this, I'll feel less happy about it. But for now, I'm in good spirits with the way the meta is.
I think the meta will adjust. I think it's the Death and Taxes syndrome all over again. When a deck gets a couple of new cards that are obviously powerful.
Yep.
People are just going to run it until other players figure out how to adjust.
Yeah.
I've already run into some weird things in leagues. I ran into, there's been a big uptick in like basically land hate, land destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen From the Ashes out of Miracles players recently. I played a mono white stacks deck that was running Armageddon's, Ghost Quarters, Wastelands, Crucible Worlds, that kind of thing, like the old Angel Stompy lists.
Yeah.
So Legacy always has a way of checking itself.
Yeah,
Leovold's a 3-drop, so it's not like there aren't ways to go to either get under it or play through it. So
yeah,
I think the meta will adjust to it.
Oh, totally. And that's the nice thing about the, I mean, all of us being Legacy players kind of know this, but the format has the tools to deal with most anything that comes in the format, with the exception of something that's like super busted, like Treasure Cruise or Dig Through Time. So having the tools there and then just trying to figure out the best way to attack a deck. I mean, you saw that happen with Eldrazi a lot. You know, Eldrazi came in and I mean, I put the deck together because it was putting up such insane results. And it's still a good deck in the format, but it's not like it was 6 months ago when it just, like, could win every league that you played in it. So I think people learn to play against that deck, and people will learn to play against, you know, against the bug deck. So, all right. So, Danny, if people want to get involved with the Community Legacy League, how do they do that? What's the first step to do?
The first step to do that is probably check out the Facebook page. The Facebook page is simply facebook.com/ Community Legacy League. And on there, there's a pinned message about how to sign up for all the events, and exactly, it gives you a step-by-step instruction on what to do. Okay. And then they can also contact the, if they have any questions, they can give a message to the Facebook page. I try to respond to it as fast as I can. And then also the Legacy League Twitter account, which is at MTG Legacy League.
Awesome. And as always, the Community Legacy Leagues every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern, correct?
Yeah, it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every single Wednesday, and then, of course, the quarterly will be on March 25th, Saturday at noontime.
I'm looking forward to that, man. I have it marked off in my calendar at work. I'm going to be taking the day off. I'll be streaming it on Twitch. I'm really looking forward to that quarterly, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for like a really good turnout here. I mean, I think last week we had, I think, one of the highest turnouts we've had yet, so, you know, it seems like it's catching on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also, just while we're at it, just a quick like shout out to Card Hoarder. I mean, they've been awesome, right, Dan? Like dealings with them for the league.
Yeah, they even from the very first moment that I messaged them with the idea of the league, they wasted no time in responding, and they got right on board. They, you know, I was asking for like, you know, something small, like small amount of cards to give out, like promo cards or something. And next thing he knows, he's like, here's 25 a week to give out. And then when I was trying to make this new tournament series, he goes, here's an extra 300, you know. He's just been his name is Nathaniel. Yep. He's been unbelievable with helping us get this up and running and really supporting just the format in general.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely shout out to them. All the cards that I've tried that I've needed to get since I've been playing in the Community Legacy League, I've gone through Card Hoarder, and like I said, I can definitely vouch for the value in what, you know, what they're selling there. They have great prices, and the fact that they support the league makes it a reason that I'd actually pay a little bit more just to give back to Card Hoarder because of
what
they do. You know.
Yeah, I've been buying all my cards from Card Hoarder since the day they started sponsoring. They've been amazing.
It just makes me so happy because Legacy in itself is a little bit tougher of a format to get into, and the fact that there's so many people out there like you, Dan, who care so much about the format, who love the game so much that you're willing to take, I mean, serious amounts of time out of your life to get the league up and running, and you put a lot of effort into it, and I really appreciate that, man, and I appreciate Card Hoarder also helping you guys out with that.
Yeah, it's been this league has been it's been everything that I want in Magic, so hopefully you can just keep on getting better.
That's the goal. We're working on it. We're going to work on it. All right, so before we get out of here, Dan, if someone wants to get a hold of you, ask about the league, or just kind of talk to you about whatever, where can they find you, man?
The best place is probably Twitter, at BoboFraggles on Twitter, and then at the Twitter account for the league, and on Facebook for the league, probably the best place to get hold of me. And just the Discord channel, that's been it's been very active, even on our off days. Like, we're not playing the league, just the MTGO testing channel has been pretty active, so we're starting to really build a nice community.
Yeah, which is awesome, because it's nice to find a testing channel where you can pick specific matchups to play in, or people who you know are going to be there and play against you and not just quit when you, like, turn to them. I'm sure that I don't know if you play a lot in the tournament practice room, Tom, but I'm sure you just go in there with Hexdeps and just, like, turn to someone game one, and they just concede games two and three. They don't even want to play, so...
I was in there for a week when I first joined Magic Online, and I stopped playing immediately. A friend of mine built Death and Taxes recently, maybe a few months ago, and he wanted to test. He only wanted to test game ones, but he didn't bother to tell anyone that. So regardless of the outcome, he just straight up conceded after game one the match. So I'm watching a couple of his matches, just like chatting with him, giving him some advice. And it's just like this long, drawn-out process of pre-late lock somebody out, you mana screw someone, and then you just up and concedes the match. Like, that would drive me insane. as his opponent. So yeah, I avoid the practice room if possible.
Question: what was the thought behind playing just game ones?
He wanted to get used to his main deck and basically hone the main deck to see where the weaknesses were and how many slots he wanted, and then he was going to work on the board.
Cool.
Like basically concede game one and then work on the sideboard games. But that's miserable when you're on the other side. You don't know someone's doing that.
Yeah, that does not seem ideal. Tom, if someone wants to get a hold of you, talk to you about the league or whatever, where can they find you, man?
Negator77 on Magic Online or The Source or Tom Hepp on Facebook.
And you guys can find me at Pat Eagle on Twitter. You can find me the Leaving Legacy Facebook page. You can search for that online. I'm always in there as well. If you want to check out the stream, it's twitch.tv/PatUglow. And I think that's it for us, guys. I think we can wrap it up there.
All right.
Sounds good.